I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is July 17th, 2010. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's topic, an article by Mike Adams entitled, An Immodest Proposal. Adams' article begins, I can't stand atheists. Well, Mike, at least we are starting out on an equal footing. I can't stand ghost worshippers. I'm not talking about those who simply believe in a god. I am specifically referring to those who actually worship a bloodthirsty, murdering, invisible ghost who plans to torture billions of humans for eternity. Mike says, and I plan to do something about them. Me too, Mike. Let's get it on. Let's see what you've got. His article continues. Thankfully, the U.S. Supreme Court has given me a powerful tool to use in my war against the godless. Earlier this week, the court ruled that a public university may require all student organizations to admit any student as a voting member or officer. The decision applies even to a student who is openly hostile to the group's fundamental beliefs. Mike, this decision was in response to Christian student groups who discriminate against homosexuals and others. The government cannot stop you from spreading your filthy hate, but it did state that the government does not have to financially support your hate. His article continues, so when I get back to the secular university in August, I plan to round up the students I know who are most hostile to atheism. Then I'm going to get them to help me find atheist haters willing to join atheist student groups across the South. Mike, you will have no difficulty finding atheist haters, homosexual haters, Sabbath violator haters, slave haters, women haters, and any other kind of hater described in the Bible. Hate is a synonym for Christianity. Let me get this straight. You say you are the religion of love. That's about as rich as Islam claiming to be the religion of peace. His article goes on, I plan to use my young fundamentalist Christian warriors to undermine the mission of every group that disagrees with me on the existence of God. Mike, Muslims disagree with you on the existence of your God. In fact, they say that you will burn in hell for eternity for believing that Jesus was divine. Even the Jews agree with the Muslims on that one. And how often do those two agree on anything? Hindus disagree with you on the existence of your God. They created almost every God imaginable just to be on the safe side. But even they never invented one where three gods have to share one body. Let me get this straight. You have three gods, but you call yourselves monotheistic? His article continues, my friend and Foundation for Individual Rights in Education, known as FIRE, President Greg Lukianoff, has a different take on the recent Supreme Court decision. He says FIRE will continue to fight for the rights of expressive campus organizations to form around shared beliefs and for the principle that the college Democrats have the right to be Democrats, and the college atheists have the right to be atheists, and the college Christians have the right to be Christians. Mike, what makes Greg think that those groups do not already have those rights? The court's decision did not say that college Christians no longer have the right to be Christians. It only said that groups that discriminate against others are no longer automatically entitled to federal funds. He continues, but I disagree with Greg. As a member of the dominant majority, I recognize the power of Martinez to destroy campus dissent, and I like it. I like it a lot. Mike, spoken like a true Christian, I would say that paragraph is an excellent summary of the last 2,000 years of Christianity. In fact, I see no difference whatsoever between Christianity and Islam in that paragraph. Both use the power of threats and violence to destroy dissent and enforce submission. And for centuries, they have liked it. They have liked it a lot. He continues, it was a close 5-4 decision in which the court ruled that the University of California Hastings College of Law did not violate the First Amendment rights of the Christian Legal Society when it denied the group official recognition. That denial was on the basis of the group's requirement that its voting members and leaders sign a statement of faith expressing belief in CLS's particular religious worldview. Mike, since you refuse to say it, I will. The particular religious worldview you refer to is a code phrase for homosexual hatred. This case originated over the Christian group's attempts to discriminate against gay students, even though they too were Christians. And how come every time I open the newspaper, I see another story about one of you evangelicals caught with your dick in some guy's butt? Or in the case of clergy, children. His article continues, by denying CLS recognition, the group is stripped of access to university benefits such as physical meeting space and student fee funding. Hey Mike, how about a fundraiser so they can rent off-campus space? You could have something like a public stoning. That might raise some money. He continues, the majority opinion in Christian Legal Society versus Martinez was authored by Justice Ginsburg. She held that Hastings' policy is constitutional. That means the same policy that has been used against a Christian group in San Francisco can now be used against heathen dissidents in the Deep South. Mike, a suggestion. Get onto Wikipedia and look up heathens. You will discover that heathens are not atheists as you seem to think they are. They are ghost worshippers, just like you. They too have invisible friends that they talk to. But like Muslims and Hindus, they just have different ghosts than you do. His article continues, in affirming the Ninth Circuit's 2009 ruling on behalf of Hastings, the Supreme Court majority limited its holding to the constitutionality of Hastings' accept-all-comers policy. That policy mandates that recognized student groups must accept all students into membership and leadership positions. It does not matter what beliefs they may hold. Justice Ginsburg was not impressed by the argument that the policy allows students hostile to the group's core tenets to disrupt the group's mission or even destroy the group altogether. Ginsburg claimed that such concerns are more hypothetical than real, but I intend to make such concerns a reality for the unbelieving heathens. Mike, Jesus would be so proud. I guess the Sermon on the Mount must have really boiled your blood with all that talk about love and peace. It's good to see that not all Christians actually fell for that garbage. You clearly saw through it and know how to be a true Christian. What did you call yourselves earlier? Oh yeah, warriors. Kind of like that old hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers Marching as to War. That's probably the battle hymn your ancestors sang as they marched into Muslim territories and murdered them for daring to worship the wrong ghost. His article continues, the majority opinion stated that denying recognition to groups like CLS is permissible in part because groups denied recognition may nevertheless avail themselves of other means of communication, such as social networking sites, to reach fellow students. That means an invading group can turn a smaller, weaker group into second-class citizens on campus. That's what I intend to do to those groups who do not believe in God. Mike, that would be your God. What about the ones who believe in other gods? That would be the other two-thirds of the planet. You know, after 2,000 years of crusades, witch burnings, inquisitions, executions, and worldwide missionary efforts, your God isn't doing very well. For someone who you claim is omnipotent, all the aforementioned activity has only resulted in saving a measly one-third of humanity. That means he is going to have to burn the other two-thirds forever. It sounds like he's going to be really busy. Maybe that's why he keeps putting off the rapture century after century after century. His article continues, if they don't like it, they can go to hell. Now, Mike, that's the true Christian spirit. That is exactly what we have all come to expect of those who call themselves Christ-like. Mike goes on, that's where they're eventually going anyway. Mike, the fact that you can revel in your gruesome little fantasy of eternal torture for billions of humans shows how desperately sick you people are. No caring human would want that for anyone, much less just for people who don't share a belief in your particular ghost. Oh yeah, you call that love. I almost forgot. The article continues. The court acknowledges that such accept-all-comers policies may not in fact be desirable for maintaining robust debate on public college campuses. I concur, and I like it that way. I do not seek robust debate. I seek power over the godless heathen dissident. Mike, I must confess admiration for one thing. Your hate and sickness is at least open and honest. Well, maybe admiration wasn't really the right word. His article continues. The court's majority opinion does not consider the constitutionality of non-discrimination policies as applied to belief-based student groups. Instead, the court held that public universities like Hastings may only deny the right to freedom of expressive association to religious student groups like CLS if they deny this freedom to all groups. So my campaign will conform to this opinion by first ensuring that there are no belief-based groups on Southern campuses. Mike, you must have delusions of grandeur. $20 says you don't even get your way in your own family. The article continues, we won't be able to discern the specifics of their beliefs by reading their constitutions, but we'll be able to get the gist of what they're up to by simply knowing the name of their group. Then we will seek to destroy groups whose names are even remotely suspicious. Mike, seek and destroy. Is there a better description of Christianity? I don't think so. He continues, if I see any words like atheist, agnostic, or even freethinker, I will know they are a group of godless heathens. Then we'll move in for the kill. Mike, I'll say it once again. Heathens are more like you. They have invisible friends that they talk to and actually believe they are getting replies. Godless people don't believe in your little fairy world with your little devils and demons and angels and your three-headed god. Move in for the kill? You are really a piece of work. If your invisible, all-powerful ghost is real, as you claim, why would he require an ignorant piece of crap like you to do his dirty work? Had you been born in Iraq, there is no doubt that with your personality, you would be at the front of the line applying to be a suicide bomber. The only reason you don't believe in Allah is because you were born into a Christian society. Where you were born, it's that simple. His article continues. The court has remanded the Martinez case to the Ninth Circuit to determine whether Hastings' accept-all-comers policy was adopted as a pretextual means of censoring CLS or whether the policy has been selectively enforced against CLS. So we must be careful here in the Deep South. Mike, the Deep South. Why is that not a surprise? Many of you are the most medieval, backward people in the country. That's why you are referred to as the American Taliban. You still haven't forgiven America for taking away your slaves, have you? That was such an unbiblical thing to do. But we have taken away your biblically approved slaves. We have stopped you from stoning people to death. We have stopped you from burning witches. As the world modernizes, we will continue to take away the horrible practices promoted by the desert dogmas. You still control the masses through lies, hatred, threats, killing, and intimidation, as evidenced by the statements you have made in this article. But the tide is turning. Where Christianity once controlled everyone in its sphere of influence, and the word atheist did not even exist, non-belief is now growing rapidly as people become freed from religious terrorism. Enjoy it while it lasts. He continues, but I'm not worried. Mike, how can you worry someone who believes he is going to live forever in fairyland? Mike says, who would ever suspect that a ban on belief-based groups could be turned against a bunch of non-believers? Mike, aren't you just the cleverest little thing? Mike says, in his dissent, Justice Samuel Alito observed that the Martinez majority has provided public universities with a handy weapon for suppressing the speech of unpopular groups. Mike, how can Christian groups be described as unpopular when they make up 75% of America? Like most ghost worshipers, Alito answers to a higher authority, and that overrules his sworn duty as a Supreme Court judge. Adams continues, Alito is right as usual. Mike, gee, what a surprise. Mike concludes his article. After we get rid of the heathens, we'll turn our weapon on the gays, the blacks, and the feminists. We might even go after the Italians, too. Mike, how are you going to get rid of those people? The old-fashioned Christian way? How will you get rid of blacks? And why do you want to get rid of blacks? Many of them worship the same invisible ghosts that you do. Why do you want to get rid of those Christians just because they have a different skin color? We already know you want to get rid of gays. How do you plan to do that? And why Italians? Most of them are Christian Catholics. How do you justify getting rid of Italians? If you can believe it, this guy, Mike Adams, is actually a professor at a university. He's employed at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. Fortunately, they had the common sense to deny his promotion to full professor. I wonder if being a hate-filled pussbag had anything to do with that decision. I think the answer to that question is probably yes. And now we move to the science segment. Today's article, complex multicellular life from over 2 billion years ago has been discovered. The discovery in Gabon of more than 250 fossils in an excellent state of conservation has provided proof for the first time of the existence of multicellular organisms 2.1 billion years ago. This finding represents a major breakthrough. Until now, the first complex life forms, made up of several cells, dated from around 600 million years ago. These new fossils of varying shapes and sizes imply that the origin of organized life is a lot older than is generally admitted, thus challenging current knowledge on the beginning of life. The first traces of life appeared in the form of prokaryotic organisms, in other words, organisms without a nucleus, around 3.5 billion years ago. Another major event in the history of life, the Cambrian explosion, some 600 million years ago, marked a proliferation in the number of living species. It was accompanied by a sudden rise in oxygen concentration in the atmosphere. What happened between 3.5 billion and 600 million years ago, though? Scientists have very little information about this era, known as the Proterozoic. Yet it is during this crucial period that life diversified. To the prokaryotes were added the eukaryotes, single or multicelled organisms endowed with a more complex organization and metabolism. These large-sized living beings differ from prokaryotes by the presence of cells possessing a nucleus containing DNA. While studying the paleoenvironment of a fossil-bearing site situated near Franceville in Gabon in 2008, El Abani and his team unexpectedly discovered perfectly preserved fossil remains in the 2.1 billion-year-old sediments. They have collected more than 250 fossils to date, of which 100 or so have been studied in detail. Their morphology cannot be explained by purely chemical or physical mechanisms. These specimens, which have various shapes and can reach 10 to 12 centimeters, are too big and too complex to be single-celled prokaryotes or eukaryotes. This establishes that different life forms coexisted at the start of the Proterozoic, as the specimens are well and truly fossilized living material. To demonstrate this, the researchers employed cutting-edge techniques that allow them to define the nature of the samples and to reconstruct their environment. An ion probe capable of measuring the content of sulfur isotopes made it possible to map the relative distribution of organic matter precisely. This matter is what remains of the living organism, which has been transformed into pyrite, a mineral formed of iron disulfide during fossilization. This helped the researchers to distinguish the fossils from Gabonese sediment, which is made of clay. In addition, using an ultra-sophisticated high-resolution 3D scanner, also known as X-ray microtomography, they were able to reconstitute the samples in three dimensions and, in particular, assess their degree of internal organization in great detail, without compromising the integrity of the fossils, since the method is non-invasive. The clearly defined and regular shape of these fossils points to a degree of multicellular organization. These organisms lived in colonies. More than 40 specimens per half square meter were sometimes collected. Consequently, they constitute the oldest multicellular eukaryotes ever described to date. By studying the sedimentary structures of this site, which is remarkable both for its richness and quality of conservation, the scientists have shown that these organisms lived in shallow marine environment, 20 to 30 meters, often calm but periodically subjected to the combined influence of tides, waves, and storms. In order to be able to develop 2.1 billion years ago and become differentiated to a degree never attained previously, the authors suggest that these life forms probably benefited from the significant but temporary increase in oxygen concentration in the atmosphere, which occurred between 2.45 and 2.0 billion years ago. Then, 1.9 billion years ago, the level of oxygen in the atmosphere fell suddenly. Until now, it has been assumed that organized multicellular life appeared around 600 million years ago, and that before then, the Earth was mainly populated by microbes, including viruses, bacteria, parasites, etc. This new discovery moves the cursor of the origin of multicellular life back by 1.5 billion years and reveals that cells had begun to cooperate with each other to form more complex and larger structures than single-celled organisms. Several research avenues now need to be explored. Understanding the history of the Gabonese Basin and why the necessary conditions were gathered to enable this organized and complex life to exist. Further exploring the site to enhance the collection of fossils, but also comparing the history of the Earth's oxygenation with the mineralization of clays. The most urgent task, however, remains the protection of this exceptional site. And now we move to the religion segment. Today's article, Son of Sam has mega fan club of Christians. Followers of born-again David Berkowitz run a website and a business for him. The article begins, while imprisoned serial killers often attract letter-writing admirers, no other convicted murderer has amassed a following quite like the Son of Sam, David Berkowitz. His claims to be a redeemed, born-again Christian have yielded him fans across the world who act as unpaid assistants running the serial killer's website and promoting DVDs and CDs of his testimony. The flood of attention has given Berkowitz an unprecedented sort of PR makeover. Some of those who worked on the Son of Sam case after Berkowitz was arrested in 1977 for killing six women doubt the sincerity of his religious conversion, but many remain convinced by Berkowitz's story. They include a Christian TV show host who says her correspondence with Berkowitz led her to start a ministry sending thousands of Bibles to Ghana, a man whose daughter was killed in the Columbine Massacre, and a Texas crime victim's assistance director. My comment, if you actually open a Bible and read it and see what kind of monster fundamentalist Christians worship, this story should come as no surprise. Son of Sam committed nowhere near the level of evil and horror that was confessed to by the God of the Bible. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Ronald Reagan, born 1911, died 2004 at the age of 93. He was the 40th President of the United States from 1991 to 1989 and the 33rd Governor of California from 1967 to 1975. Born in Tampico, Illinois, Reagan moved to Los Angeles, California in 1937. He began a career as an actor, first in films and later in television, appearing in 52 movie productions and gaining enough success to become a household name. Though largely a B-film actor, some of his most notable roles are in Newt Rockne, All-American, and King's Row. Reagan served as president of the Screen Actors Guild and later spokesman for General Electric. His start in politics occurred during his work for GE. Originally a member of the Democratic Party, he switched to the Republican Party in 1962. After delivering a rousing speech in support of Barry Goldwater's presidential candidacy in 1964, he was persuaded to seek the California governorship, winning 2 years later and again in 1970. He was defeated in his run for the Republican presidential nomination in 1968, as well as in 1976, but won the nomination and election in 1980. As president, Reagan implemented sweeping new political and economic initiatives. His supply-side economic policies, dubbed Reaganomics, advocated controlling the money supply to reduce inflation and spurring economic growth by reducing tax rates, government regulation of the economy, and certain types of government spending. In his first term, he survived an assassination attempt, took a hard line against labor unions, and ordered military action in Grenada. He was reelected in a landslide in 1984. His second term was primarily marked by foreign affairs, such as the ending of the Cold War, the bombing of Libya, and the revelation of the Iran-Contra affair. Publicly describing the Soviet Union as an evil empire, he supported anti-communist movements worldwide and spent his first term foregoing the strategy of détente by ordering a massive military buildup in an arms race with the USSR. Reagan negotiated with Soviet General Secretary Mikhail Gorbachev, culminating in the INF Treaty and the decrease of both countries' nuclear arsenals. Reagan left office in 1989. In 1994, the former president disclosed that he had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease earlier in the year. He died 10 years later at the age of 93. Although his presidency was controversial to contemporaries, his reputation has grown over time and he is now often rated as one of the greatest of U.S. presidents. And now for the quote from Ronald Reagan. It's brief, so pay attention. His quote is referring to science. Why should we subsidize intellectual curiosity?
Are you ready, Bruce?